listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again. I'd like to read today from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Having read the earlier part of that chapter the last 2 weeks, today beginning at verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray that these blessed words may be plain to us in our understanding, but more than that, in our faith, in our believing. Over and over, we read the blessing, whosoever believeth in him. Yes, in him, Christ. Let's seek to believe in him as we go to God in prayer. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, through him who has said, if we ask in his name, thou wilt hear us. We come, Father, asking to be taught to pray. We ask to be taught to use that name rightly, not lightly. We pray for that blessing to be given in every way needed, that we may also pray according to thy will, that we might do as we are commanded, to pray without ceasing, especially to pray in the Spirit, to do as that early church did, being in one accord in prayer and supplication. We pray that that may take place again in the church, that there might be a reviving of prayer, a reviving of faith in Christ. We pray, Father, that this blessing might be given also in the world. For we read that thou hast so loved the world, that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we pray, Father, that soon that gospel might be preached in every part of the world, that it soon might be preached to every creature, and that all nations and tongues and tribes may be called to repentance and remission of sins in the name of Christ. We pray for these spiritual blessings, first of all, to give glory to thy grace and glory to thy holy and great name. Also, Father, we give thanks for the natural blessings, the temporal blessings, and pray for those who need them so desperately, in sickness, in injury, in sorrow, in weariness, in heaviness, in troubled homes, in old age. We pray, Father, for all these blessings for them, the hungry, the homeless, the war-torn lands. We pray that thou would look down in mercy and make many to seek first thy kingdom and thy righteousness, with the promise that all these things will be added, all because of Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look again at these words of the Lord Jesus, spoken to Nicodemus one night, as he came to the Lord Jesus in that time, we saw in the last 2 weeks the teaching that the Lord Jesus gave concerning the new birth. And as we sang, you must be born again. For us to see these other words rightly as we have read them from verse 13 on through verse 21, we must be born again. We will not see these blessings of the kingdom, this which is God's spiritual kingdom, given because of his Son, given through his Son. He was the way, the truth, the life, the door, the light. All the I ams that we read, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, all in Christ. And we must be able to see that, that is God's kingdom for us, and God's kingdom which we must enter into by faith. First of all, realizing we're outside of it, lost, separate from God, without hope, and without God in the world. Not just the heathen, but in the church. As I thought of this message, I thought of time, and I think I've mentioned it before, some months, maybe a year ago, of the woman that was sick and dying, called for the preacher. The preacher was one that preached good works, preached a social gospel, and he saw this woman on her deathbed. He knew, did not know what to say, had no message, except that he had been taught by a godly mother, And those things were still in his mind, lying there. Lying there as it were dormant. But then they began to come to him. And he began to think of those verses such as this one, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The story began with a little girl coming to that preacher and saying, "Get my mother in." He thought, get her in from the outside, from the rain, but it was to get her into the kingdom of God. And then the end of the story, it was that the preacher and the woman came into the kingdom of God together. He believing now, in his later years, what his mother had taught him, that he had disbelieved and been under condemnation, though a preacher, all those years. Remember what we read in verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Yes, too many preachers believe in their own name. Believe in their own ways, their own ability. As one said, "I was more in love with myself than in Christ." We are sinners. Every preacher is a sinner. Every preacher is a sinner. And in one or two classes, a saved sinner, like John Newton, who said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." The hour I first believed. Many sing it. Do you sing it? Do you believe it? Are you singing the truth of yourself when you sing it? "I once was lost, but now am found." That preacher, John Newton, was lost, came to know it. The Lord saved him. Then he could describe it rightly. All in this blessed gospel. "As no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Yes, he is everywhere present. After he went to heaven, just before he left this earth, went up into the clouds, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But he went up to heaven, sat down on the right hand of the Father, and is there, making intercession for the church, for the lost that must be saved, for the world. He is there, ruling. All power, he said, has been given unto me in heaven and earth. But this message that he preached to Nicodemus continues. John was directed by the Holy Spirit to write it down for you and me. These 2,000 years later, or 1,900 and some years later, speaking of Christ, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Stephen, after the ascension of Christ, Stephen believing in Christ, preaching Christ, saw the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of Majesty on high. Generally we read of him sitting, but at that moment he was standing. And then the Lord Jesus himself gives a type of his own death. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." If you know the Old Testament story of the history of Israel, you will know that story. It's found in Numbers 21. It's of a time when Israel was a murmuring people, a dissatisfied people, though God was giving them everything needed as they were journeying from Egypt to Canaan. And we read in verse 4 of chapter 21, "And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom," God had given the land of Edom to Esau, Jacob's brother, "and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God, and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They were murmuring, they were lying. They had bread, they had manna, but they said they loathed this light bread. They didn't like angels' food. They didn't like the perfect food. And God, we read in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Murmuring, death. Oh, what a murmuring people we are. Murmuring against God's ways, murmuring against each other, in the government, in the workplace, in the home, yes, sadly, in the church too. Murmuring, dissatisfied, wanting something else, loathe this light bread. Like Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. He said, the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Here, they didn't like the bread for their body. There, God points out by the pen of Paul that they will not like the bread for the soul, the necessary truth. The truth that the Lord Jesus is speaking about. The truth that he'll speak about further. And he will by the Spirit teach and give. And which we need. Yes, we're born liars. We need the truth to set us free. And here, after God sent those fiery serpents among the people, they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. God's way of redemption, God's way of healing, God's way of giving life to those who could otherwise die for their sin. Put this brazen serpent up on a pole. They had to look by faith. Those that would look would live. Those that would not look died. Christ said to Nicodemus, the ruler who came by Jesus by night, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, putting it on that pole so all could see, so they could look to it, look and live, Christ said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Lifted up on the cross. Lifted up to die. To die in sinner's stead. To die in our stead, hopefully to die in your stead and mine. That's all we need, and we need it desperately. We need it fully. We need it absolutely. We need it to have happened, and we need to believe it. Going on a minute again to verse 18, he that believeth is not condemned, believeth on him, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God begins with all of us not believing. The Lord Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. That's where God begins. You may have a historic faith. As a preacher, Sunday school teacher, elder, you might teach it. But you must believe it to the saving of your soul. You must believe it so that you will no longer perish. You were born a perishing sinner. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul writes to the church at Rome and the church at Corinth, in Adam we all died. Throughout Scripture we are told, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Perishing, every one of us. Makes no difference who we are in the world. We are all in one class, perishing. And one way to be delivered from it, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There, Christ himself is preaching the gospel through the example of that serpent, that brazen serpent put on a pole, and the people of Israel who had sinned, God became angry with them in their sin, sending serpents among them, and many died, many were dead already, died in their sin. God could do that. They could have all died. Everyone. Earlier in history, all died in the flood except Noah and his family. All died in Sodom and Gomorrah except Lot and his two daughters. His wife also was taken out, but she looked back and became a pillar of salt. All could die. All have earned the wages of sin, which is death. All. One way out of that, all. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Then Christ declares it in its actual happening. He had given it in type. Now he gives it in a way that we can, should be able to understand. Verse 16, that well-known verse, sometimes called the most precious verse in Scripture. I don't know which one is best known, this one or the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Both are known. But listen to this one, verse 16 of this third chapter of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord Jesus was speaking this at a time that before this, basically only those people to which Nicodemus belonged, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, they were the ones that had the Scriptures, the oracles of God, and they knew this. But now, Christ said, God so loved the world. And soon after this, he would tell his followers, his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Preached in his name. Repentance. Change of understanding, change of thinking, coming into submission to God and what he has said, coming under the word instead of thinking we're above it, thinking we can do what we want with it, thinking we can rest it without being destroyed. But if we rest it, it will be, as Peter wrote, to our own destruction, not God's, not the word. The word will not be destroyed. It's like a man running into a sword. He won't destroy the sword. He'll destroy himself. God's word is described as sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God does. As I told one person a few days ago, I know the Word is true because it gives a perfect picture of me, the sinner. No one else knows it. Some may exaggerate it this way and some that way, but God's Word is perfect, perfectly describing you and me, perfectly describing all nations of the world, sometimes describing them separately, different classes, but all together have sinned. All together are perishing without Christ. And the wonderful news that all can be saved through Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Spiritual life is eternal. Eternal life must be spiritual. As Christ said, as we saw in the 2 weeks before, verse 6 of this third chapter, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. We must not only be taught of the Spirit, we must be changed by the Spirit. We must be changed from rebels to becoming like little children. We must be changed from having hard hearts, stony hearts, to having our heart opened by God, that the Word of God will flow in, be received. There's one described that way when Paul was preaching, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she might give heed to all that Paul spake. Oh, with our hard hearts, we'll take some of the Word. That's why we have so many churches. Everybody takes a little bit, thinks, I'm right. I'm better than the rest. That's not what the Word of God teaches. You are not better than the rest. Not even as a Christian. Are we better than they? In no wise. We have together become unprofitable, Paul says to the New Testament church. Yes, only what we have in Christ is better. Better, better, best. The answer for eternal life. For God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We've often used that word in recent weeks. Saved, saved, saved. Saved by the blood of the Lamb. Saved by him who was lifted up on the cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 1900 years ago, Christ was lifted up on the cross. Now we must lift him up in preaching Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.